I'm going to do a David trick today. I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to talk about first. And I have to. Because after the first service, the one that I do down in Immigrant, somebody said, I wish you talked about Uriah. I have never understood that story and why it's in the Bible. Well, the gospel for today is so important. I am not going to dwell on the story of Uriah. I'm not going to dwell on the story of David, who is Jesus is a descendant of, because of power and lust and greed and position. He snatched away Uriah, who was good and pure and just and true, had an affair with his wife, and then in order to cover up the affair, had Uriah killed. But it's needless to say that within our humanity, many people and many of us at all time, at some time in our lives have acted out of greed. We have acted out of power, from positions of power. We have all acted out of trying to cover up and trying to make it all work out okay, and then finding that it doesn't, maybe made even greater mistakes by trying to make it appear okay. That story is in there because David could do some pretty horrible things. But God, in God's compassion, saw through David. And David, through the experiences of his life, felt profoundly guilty for what he had done. And he repented and came back to the Lord. So with that in mind, let's look at today's gospel. And actually, you might be able to apply it, but I'm not going to try to do that. That's too much. When our story opens today, it's important to know that this particular event in the gospel is in all four gospel accounts. It was extremely important to the disciples, and it was extremely important to the early church, or it would not be found in all four accounts of the gospel. That makes it important. Also, if you look at the text itself within relationship to the other events in the gospel, you'll see that it happens right after we've received word of John the Baptist's death. Now, John the Baptist is in some ways the last of the old prophets and ushering in a new understanding of God. This is very important because something new is afoot. Something new is about to happen. Now, if we start at the beginning of the text for today, you'll know that Jesus, before this, in the day before, or earlier that day, he and his disciples were tired. The disciples had been out spreading the news of the kingdom, and they come back tired and hungry. And Jesus has suggested that they get in the boat and go out. And so they head over to do that, but the crowds follow them. And as tired as they were, Jesus has compassion on the crowds. He sees that they're hungry. He sees that they're hurting, that they're in pain. He sees that they're desperate and lost and out of touch. And he stops and he heals them. And he touches them. And he gives them hope. Now, when today's passage opened, they have been physically touched, physically healed. But he gets into a boat, and they sail across the Sea of Galilee. Transitions are very important in the Gospels because they mean something new is about to happen. It's not enough that they were healed physically. That's not enough. That's not healing. That's not complete healing. Because we can have our needs. We can pray, and we all do, for God to do this, for God to do that, for God to heal this. You know the prayers of supplication. The crowds almost take on a sinister effect in the Gospels because they're forever pressing for more and more healing that they want. But Jesus sees beyond their needs, or what they perceive as their needs, and he realizes a much greater need. So we have the disciples in a boat moving to another side of the Sea of Galilee. They get out of the boat and they go up a mountain. Well, who went up a mountain to find God? Moses. Moses went up the mountain to find God, and it was there that God revealed the law to Moses, and it's there that God revealed himself as the great I am. Not something stagnant in time and place, but the verb to be, I am. And this is where Jesus goes with his disciples. Very important. Jesus gives them bread to eat. reminiscent of the manna that God gave the Hebrews when they were in the desert. This is not coincidence. The bread that fed them is the bread that still feeds them, that comes from God. Then later, when the feeding is over, they get into a boat. Jesus goes to pray, and they get into a boat. There's this horrible storm, and we see the chaotic waters, the chaotic dark waters of creation. We see the dark waters of the Red Sea that kept the Israelites in bondage, where God opens the waters and they walk across on dry land. We've all seen the Ten Commandments. We know how that goes. And today we see the dark waters of the Galilean Sea and how Jesus walks on them, so that in the midst of the dark waters, the disciples know that Jesus is there. Another reminder of the God of Moses. Our last reminder is that it also states that this particular feeding happens right at the time of the Passover, which is the most sacred of Jewish holidays, and it remembers God's rescue of the Hebrews from Egypt, from the hands of Pharaoh, and the leading of the Hebrews into the desert where they're molded by God. This whole story is reminiscent of Moses, of the law. And it's happening to these people at one time. But it's also foreshadowing and giving us a foretaste of the Last Supper and a foretaste of the banquet that's prophesied in time when we'll all meet together on the hill at a feast. So this story has tremendous meaning on a lot of different levels. But anyway, Jesus has these throngs of thousands of people hungry, tired, and hoping, but they have been nourished by Jesus and they keep looking to him. So what does he have them do? He has them sit down on the ground, on the grass. Picture this. You're up on a hill. You're with thousands of people. You sit down on the grass. Suddenly you're brought in touch with the dirt, with the grass, with the land, with the sky, with the openness from being on the hillside, but you're also brought in very close proximity to one another. For those of you who study John Philip Newell, does this ring any bells for you? This oneness, you're brought close to the earth, to nature, but also to one another. And it's here that Jesus says, does anyone have anything to eat? And out of crowds of thousands, nobody speaks. You can't tell me. And then finally this one little boy, and the gospel's careful to say it was a young lad, a young child, comes up and he offers his two fish and his two barley loaves. Well, we don't know this, but barley loaves were considered not so good, not something you would feed to guests, and not something if you had any money at all you would eat. So he offers what he has, which is not at all acceptable in company, but he's the one that offers. Everybody there has heard Jesus. Everybody there has seen the need for food. But only one person out of those thousands is a little tiny boy. And he offers. And I was thinking about this child and I thought, why him? He offers because, number one, he's innocent. He has no idea that his gift might not be good enough. Number two, he's ignorant, or he's too innocent to know about the law. He doesn't know that there are strict dietary habits that would keep you from eating with dirty hands sitting on the ground and keep you from eating with different people and who knows what their backgrounds are, how clean they are, whether they're clean or unclean. Lots of Jewish laws in order to be close to God are involved here. And he just kind of doesn't worry about them. He literally doesn't care. You know, they're not important to him. And he's excited. He's so excited that he doesn't care if he runs out of food. He doesn't care if he hasn't saved enough out for himself. He gives it to Jesus with great excitement. Jesus takes his food. He lifts it up to God. He blesses the food. And in blessing the food, he blesses those around him. And this is when the miracle happens. It's a miracle, according to Borg, a miracle of a transformation of the heart. A huge miracle of the transformation of the heart. Because with that, having Jesus saw, he heard, and he acted and responded to the needs of the people. The little boy saw and heard and responded to the needs that Jesus had mentioned. And now there is plenty for everyone. They all come, they all feast, and the 12 basketfuls that are collected after everyone had had their full. I'm going to digress for a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting around our dining room table with my family and my husband's brother, Uncle Robert, and we were having a discussion. Uncle Robert's a professor, so we get into lots of discussions when he's there. And somehow we got into the concept of wisdom. And he said, according to Leonardo da Vinci, wisdom was the daughter of experience. Well, if we're going to look at it as a union, then we had another problem. Who was the other parent in this union? So we had to think about it that way. And I thought, and I said, well, maybe reflection is. Reflection on experience might give you wisdom. And my daughter popped up and said, no, Mother, it's compassion. I thought, whoa, well, move to the front of the class. I think I'll sit in the back. And I thought, the experiences in our lives, if we use the lens of compassion to see through them, then we're much more open to ourselves, to forgiving ourselves, and to seeing ourselves as one with everyone around us, and to reach with compassion to anyone around us who is suffering in any way. It's the compassion that Jesus had on the crowds, those sinister crowds that continue to nag him and want more and want more. They want what they want, not necessarily what he wants to give them. But it's compassion that is the heart of this. And if we in the experiences go out from here, and if we can forgive ourselves or even view ourselves with compassion and view those around us with compassion, then we will find that we are one with each other and one with all creation, and one with God, and that in this universe and in this world, if we offer that compassion out, there will always be plenty. Or as my good Southern grandmother may have said, there will be a gracious plenty for all. Amen.